Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello everybody, Luke O'Neill here and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now this week a request has come in and anybody who listens will know I love requests and it's topics that come in. I've got about four or five lined up. I can't do some of them because even though I do sort of claim to be a world expert in everything, it's not quite the case. It's stuff that I know about and I can talk about really, I pick. But please do send requests to laoneill with two L's at tcd.ie. Now Donald Donnelly. Hi Donald. He's emailed me, he's a pharmacist. And he's asked me to cover magnesium, and particularly magnesium and sleep, which I'm very happy to do, Donald, because I know a lot about magnesium, actually, as a biochemist, as I'll explain. So this podcast is The Science of Magnesium. Now, the reason why Donald emailed me is he's sick of people asking him, should they take magnesium supplements to help them sleep? And he's asked me to look into it and look into the science of it. And I have, and I've dug into this. I was aware of it a bit. I'd seen stuff on magnesium. And as I'll explain, there's a plausible reason why it might. But the bottom line is, the jury's out. And in fact, if anything, there's hardly any evidence to suggest that this would work. But it's out. I'm going to describe some of the evidence because there have been some studies done. Now, if you're a biochemist, and my first degree is biochemistry, I would know a lot about magnesium. Why? Over 300 enzymes in your body need magnesium. Now, enzymes are the catalysts of life. They are the little chemicals in your body that do everything. They break down food. They allow neurons to fire. They allow muscles to contract. All the bits of your body that have things that need to function properly need enzymes. The central part of biochemistry, actually. They're the things that catalyze all the biochemical reactions in your body. And loads of them need magnesium. Now, what that means is magnesium is called an essential mineral. It's a metal, as people might know already. But these enzymes, they bind magnesium and they use it in their catalysis. Now, what sort of enzymes are we talking about? Nearly every biological process needs some kind of an enzyme that uses magnesium. A big one, for example, is DNA replication. Now, DNA, as I hope you all know by now, is the recipe for life. And you copy your DNA when a cell divides, and it's an enzyme called DNA polymerase, and that needs magnesium. So no magnesium, no copying of DNA, no life. A second good example is a thing called ATP. Now, ATP is the energy currency of life. It's like the batteries that make your body run, or any living system run, actually. It's the common battery that's used as an equivalent to a battery. And guess what? It needs magnesium desperately. And the magnesium binds the ATP and lets it do its job. And any enzyme that uses ATP then also needs magnesium. And there's a whole set of things called protein kinases, which are key regulators of many things in your body. They need ATP, so therefore they need magnesium. And then I mentioned, obviously ATP, as I say, is the energy currency. The energetics of living systems, you burn glucose, and then you can make ATP in your mitochondria. As anybody who's a biochemist would know, there's an enzyme called pyruvate kinase needed for that. So in other words, for energy, for all kinds of things like muscle movement, for ion fluxes across membranes, for nerves working properly, to copy DNA, you need magnesium. Now, what that means is no magnesium, no life. So it's a very fundamental thing. And that might make you wonder, well, why would it be needed for sleep? Which I will come back to in a minute. Now, your average body has 25 grams of magnesium. If you look at the amount, that's about half a Mars bar, to put into that context. That's the weight of magnesium in your body. Half it's in your bones, and the bones have magnesium to stabilize them and do various things in bone. So it's involved in bone function as well. 1% is in your blood. So if I take a sample of blood from someone, I can measure that, you know, show there's a little bit of magnesium there, 1% of the total. And then the rest of it's in other soft tissues distributed around the body. Now, nutritionists have figured out how much you need. Now, it's very hard to be magnesium deficient, unlike other things. Like, you know, if you look at vitamin C, for instance, you need to take in vitamin C by taking in citrus fruits. And if you don't, you get scurvy. But it's hard to be magnesium deficient because there's so much of it everywhere. Lots of different foodstuffs have it. And the average adult, for a man, you need 400 milligrams a day. For a woman, it's 300, slightly less because of the body mass being slightly less. What are the best sources? Green leafy vegetables. And we all eat those. A great one is spinach. Now, there's one. In fact, of all the green leafy vegetables, spinach is among the ones to have the highest level. And this immediately reminds me of Popeye. Now, I think, you know, people listening will have never heard of Popeye, I bet you. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon called Popeye, and he would eat spinach, and then his muscles would grow, you know. And there was something in that, because you need magnesium for muscles. So they were clever. I guess people knew you needed spinach, at least magnesium. Certainly spinach was useful for this, although there mightn't have been any evidence at the time. But that's why Popeye ate spinach, to help his muscles, given that magnesium is needed by muscles. Nuts are a rich source. Seeds are a really rich source. Potatoes are a great source. Milk is a great source. So many different things have magnesium in it. And a balanced diet means of vegetables and meat. Now, meat will have magnesium as well. It means you'll get sufficient amounts of magnesium. One potato gives you 40 mg. That's 10% of a man's requirement, say, for instance. So if you eat 10 potatoes, that's all you need to have enough magnesium. A cup of milk, whatever a cup is, I saw that, a small amount of milk, will give you 30 mg. So if you drink a pint of milk, you're laughing your head off. One slice of bread has 20 mg. Now remember, you need 400 a day. So you can see now a balanced diet will give you all the magnesium you need. Now, there are some studies on deficiency. It can happen. Sadly, drug addicts and alcoholics, they sometimes display magnesium deficiency, partly because their diet is so bad, but also because they can't absorb it properly from the foodstuffs. And the symptoms of deficiency are your appetite goes paradoxically, even though you should be eating more food. Nausea is a feature. Fatigue, again, getting back to the muscles. And you can get heart disturbances, arrhythmias, because the heart needs magnesium as well. And overall weakness. And there can be many reasons for this. But these are the kinds of situations in which you'll see symptoms of magnesium deficiency. It's very rare, though, because, as I say, the nutrients we take in are lots of magnesium in them. And your kidneys, is interesting, if you do have a drop in magnesium, they stop secreting it. So they keep the magnesium in your body to counteract this risk of deficiency. Why would biology do that? Well, it's essential for all these things, obviously. So evolution made sure to try to maintain magnesium levels. And anybody listening who might have some of these symptoms, go and see your GP. Get yourself checked out. They can measure magnesium in part of the blood test that you can get done there. Now, there are examples of having too much of it. And then we're going to come on for Donald to the supplements. Too much will cause diarrhea and cramping. And again, that's to do with muscles being disturbed. And the diarrhea is because your digestive system gets disturbed if you have too much of it. So that can happen. Now, let's get to the meat of the matter here, so to speak, for Donald. Is there any role for this in sleep? Now, as I say, a balanced diet will give you enough magnesium and more to maintain what you need magnesium to do. So there's no real concern here. There's no obvious reason to take a supplement at all. If you're older and frail, sometimes they might offer a sort of a supplement to try to help things a bit. But what about this connection to sleep? Now, first of all, the bottom line, I'll give it to you already, the jury's out. There are very few proper trials on this. Now, there is a plausible reason why it might help you sleep. And the biology of this would suggest possibly. It might help muscles relax a bit because it's effects on muscles. Some evidence of it can help certain muscles to relax, and that can maybe help you nod off. It will decrease cortisol. Magnesium and cortisol is a stress hormone, and that will keep you awake, obviously. And then several studies have shown it can boost melatonin. Maybe that's where this came from, because melatonin is your natural sleeping tablet. So there was a couple of studies showing a few that magnesium can regulate melatonin production. So there's, you know, that's some evidence to link magnesium into sleep. So that's reasonable. However, when you look at the data, it's not there. And I think for me, this typifies one of the big problems that we have at the moment, and we've had for years. Not quite snake oil, but, you know, influencers and stuff online saying, take this, do that, whatever it might be, recommending things. The people advising that you should take magnesium for sleep, I bet you they haven't looked at the data. Because if they had, they wouldn't be advocating quite so strongly, for instance. So be very careful where you're getting your advice. And of course, in reaction to this, in America in particular, people are wondering, should doctors recommend magnesium? And there's several studies now looking into the science behind this, and there's very few proper trials. And the other thing to remember is most people get enough in their diet anyway. So if you take too much of it, you just wee it out. That often happens with vitamin supplements. You mainly get rid of most of it. You don't need it. Now, in this situation, what scientists will do is a meta-analysis. Now, what that means is they will combine lots of studies together, separate studies, and see if they all agree and come to a consensus view across these studies, right? And there were three studies I came across, a meta-analysis of three studies on insomnia. And they tested it to see if it would help with insomnia. And the bottom line was the quality of the evidence was low to very low. no clear effect, you know, and if there was an effect, it was marginal. So they couldn't show a link in three separate studies, really, that it would help if someone had insomnia. There was another study looking at effects on muscle cramps, because muscle cramps will keep you awake, and maybe they would limit what magnesium might limit that. No clear effect there either. And remember, insomnia can be caused by many things. And putting people on a trial, you might see a benefit, but it's not placebo controlled. That's what we mean by low quality, in a way. They aren't done properly, is the problem there. So be very careful about this, because again, I bet you the people who advocate for this wouldn't have seen those studies. Another one that was really impressive in my view, especially for Donald, I dug into it, a big meta-analysis, 9 separate studies. That's a good number. 7,582 people. They looked at it to see if there was a link from magnesium and sleep patterns. They got people to measure various aspects of sleep using technologies. And there was a randomized control aspect to this, which is what you want. You want untreated and treated. Double blind, very important that the investigator doesn't know, to remove bias. And guess what the conclusion was? Uncertain association, so unproven. From this meta-analysis of 9 separate studies. And what they advocate for, there's a hint of something, it has to be said. But what's needed are much bigger randomized control trials with longer follow-up times. If it's too short, you can't get significant data. So this study recommended a 12-week trial should be done with more subjects, and it's randomized and controlled, and then you might get the evidence that we're looking for. So overall, therefore, does magnesium supplementation help with sleep? The jury is out. And if anything, the evidence would suggest not much of an effect. And even if there is an effect, a good idea would be eat spinach. You can get magnesium in your diet. So take a couple of handfuls of spinach. It would be very useful. Then you'll be spending your money, will you? Now, of course, magnesium can be part of other supplements and it can be pretty harmless, the levels it's at. So that's probably okay. But scientifically, as I say, not a lot of evidence to support taking magnesium will help you sleep. So there you have it. That is the science of magnesium. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And remember, my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.